We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Go Huskies podcast is presented by Air Van Moving, the official mover of Husky Athletics and your next move.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Go Huskies podcast is presented by UW Medicine. Husky athletes get the very best care at UW Medicine, and it's the same expert care that everybody can get at over 270 clinics throughout the region. UW Medicine, a higher degree of healthcare.
The following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College.
It's time for the Chris Peterson Show on the Washington Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. The Chris Peterson Show is brought to you by Star Rentals, preferred supplier to the West's best contractors. Now, along with Coach Pete, here's the voice of the Huskies, Tony Castricone.
Final show of the year. Hard to believe. Season goes fast. It's the Chris Peterson Show on the Washington Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. And, Coach, I think there are many great things about Apple Cup week. One is Thanksgiving. Yeah. Two is the Apple Cup. But three is you just kind of the whirlwind. It's like we're at the end of the season. Hard to believe. It's always hard to believe.
It really goes so fast. And, you know, I always – at the end of the seasons like this, it always makes me really kind of reflect in a deep way, because it's just like, not only does this season go fast, life goes fast.
Yeah, true.
And, you know, the seasons fly by and your life flies by. And that's why it's just so important to, you know, live in the moment and try to enjoy each day. And I mean, I know that sounds a little bit corny and all those type of things, but, you know, you can blink your eyes. And I feel like I have in a lot of ways, you know, with, you know, coaching and all these type of things. And yeah, you know, it just goes. It goes fast.
Yeah, no question about it. So a lot to be thankful for this year, and a lot to talk about here on today's show. We'll talk to Kyle Sammons. He's a coordinator of sports science for football. We also got to talk about some of these seniors. We'll preview the Apple Cup coming up, but first got to talk about the game against Colorado over the weekend. A tough loss to the Buffaloes. And Coach, you said the most disappointing game you've had in a long time. Can you unpack as to what it is specifically that makes that disappointing?
Well, I think it's just kind of, you know, piles on a little bit how this season has gone, you know, which has been really frustrating in a lot of ways. We've been in all the games. I think we've gone into every single game thinking and believing that we're going to win this game and having chances to do it. And, you know, we had a bye. The kids practiced well. You know, one of our, I think Coach Huff even mentioned even before, they thought we, you know, O-line had one of their better weeks of practice. And we had one of our not better weeks of running the ball. Mm-hmm. And so just all those things have been really, really perplexing and frustrating. And not just for me, but for the team. You know, I mean, there's not a lot of guys in our room, in that team room, that are used to winning this few games.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but there's a lot of lessons in this. I mean, because that's how it goes. Like, sometimes I think kids show up here thinking, oh, I'm a Husky, we're going to win. No, you're not, unless you go earn it and deserve to win. The preparation's correct, and then you can compete like you really, like you're a true champion. And if you don't, you're not going to get it done in this league.
Yeah, sounds like that is one of the lessons you're referring to. What are some of the other lessons that you're talking about?
Yeah, well, no one's going to feel, you know, no one's going to feel sorry for you at all. I mean, so you better shake that off in a hurry. Everybody's hoping that we play with that we have a lot of problems. So that's how it is. That's how the world works a lot. When you're in a competitive environment, the other side is hoping for more problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so no one cares about that. So you better, you know, just put on the big boy pants. You need to truly learn, like, what happened and analyze it. And then you got to move on and you got to build skill. You got to build skill in terms of execution. You got to build skill in terms of how to truly compete and win. And that's one of the things that we're lacking around here.
Sometimes learning what it is that's gone wrong is a painful part of the process.
There's no question. I mean, losing is painful. But, you know, you show me any winner, you know, a true winner, you know, you'll see them have gone through a lot of hard things and have learned hard lessons. And, you know, there's no such thing as a good loser. You know, a good loser is a loser, in my opinion. I mean, no offense. But, you know, true champions, show me one true champion that's like got something done on a really, you know, big, large scale for time. There's just, people don't realize that sometimes, like what these guys, you see the end product and you forget about all the things that have happened, whether it's in the year or whether it's in the past handful of years or when it was way back when, or a combination of all those things.
Yeah. You were referencing having a hard time getting the running game going earlier. And that does seem to be a big differentiating factor as to whether or not our offense is going to reach its potential or not. One line, no, you're not a big fan of stats, but one stat that I've noticed is when Jacob Eason throws the ball over 30 times in a game, we're 2-5. When he throws it under 30 times, that probably correlates to a game where we've established the run and we're 4-0 in those situations.
Yeah, and so when you can run the ball and move the chains, it sets up the pass game. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just kind of how this team is, how we're built right now. And so it's important for us to run the ball. And when we're not running the ball and having a bunch of three and outs, you know, then all of a sudden you're playing into the defensive hands. Like, okay, now they're behind the sticks. Now they're behind in the game. They're going to have to throw it. You know, then all of a sudden the blitz packages show up. And so it's not the game. So, you know, if you can't establish some sort of run game, I mean, it doesn't, you know, we don't have to be the Green Bay Packers here back in the old days, but we got to be able to run the ball a little bit to do some other things.
A stats are for losers stat going into this game is Colorado's defense was 127th in the nation in tackles for loss. Mm-hmm. And our offense was 10th in the nation in fewest tackles for losses allowed. So conventional reading of those stats, you would think Colorado would have a hard time getting into the backfield and making plays. And yet they get 5 sacks. They had 10 TFLs. And we were behind the chains often in the game.
The whole time. And so, you know, just from outside, you know, paying attention, you'd think, yeah, the guys didn't show up. I mean, they didn't want to play. That's not the case.
Mm.
I mean, like I just said, everybody felt like we practiced well. There was good, you know. Now, again, I think maybe, I don't know, the expectations are wrong, you know, that we don't have that true competitive mindset. And we go in at halftime where we haven't done anything to score. And I think, again, the kids are kind of looking around like, what's going on? Well, what's going on is we're not executing. It's not any one guy. I can't go up and say, hey, let's replace this guy. You're playing poorly. You know, it's this guy, that guy. And like you said, I mean, yeah, we go into that game and we haven't really had a bunch of, you know, negative plays in terms of that. We got that. It's going to be a long night.
Well, I think one of the things that result is indicative of is the fact that, yes, there are trends, and yes, every team brings a track record into the game. But that track record is not the entire story. It's part of the story. Another part of the story is, how are guys improving through the year? What do you do on your bye weeks? And what kind of energy do you bring into a given moment?
Yep.
And I thought Colorado had a lot of energy.
They had good energy, and I thought we had good energy showing up there. I mean, it's always easier to play at home, all those things, and you go on the road, the energy feels different. But, you know, I didn't feel... You know, until we went into halftime, you know, you could feel like those guys are, they're pressing. I mean, the kids are pressing. Then we come out and we get two really nice drives. And that's kind of about all we do. We get a couple more three and outs. And so, you know, it's one of those games. Extremely frustrating.
We'll have more of the Chris Peterson Show right after this.
Magic Toyota in Edmonds has been an enthusiastic supporter of UW Athletics and building the future together. That's why Magic Toyota is the proud sponsor of UW's Pups and Parents program. Nothing is more satisfying than seeing past and current Huskies introducing future Huskies to the university through athletics, plus spending fun, quality time together. Brought to you by Magic Toyota, proud sponsor of UW Athletics. See our brand new, state-of-the-art Magic Toyota store right on Highway 99 in Edmonds and always online at magictoyota.com. Go Dogs!
Bob Kendall, president of Star Rentals.
A big reason our family-owned business has been around since 1900 is the principle of empowering our people to do what they think is in the best interest of the customer. After all, this is a relationship business, and that's a constant that hasn't changed over time.
Star Rentals, the preferred supplier to the West's best contractors.
Empowering our employees to bring value to our customers. We think that's a relationship that will work for your business.
Find out how at starrentals.com.
The Chris Peterson Show continues in 60 seconds on the Washington Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
Now you can bow down and drink up at Red Hook Brew Lab, located in the heart of Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood. Proudly partnered with the Washington Huskies, Red Hook has created their very own small batch IPA, Purple Rain, specially brewed for the home team and available on tap all season long. Catch the Husky spirit by catching a game at Red Hook Brew Lab.
The biggest schools.
Touchdown, Penn State.
Alabama.
Oklahoma. Ohio State will win.
The biggest games.
Kick is good.
The Longhorns lead.
Intercepted at the goal line. The Dogs have picked it up.
Reliving the weekend on the gridiron. It's the College Football Rewind.
Throws over the middle.
Pass broken up. And the Huskies are going to win.
The Gators get a pick six.
Download on Sunday mornings on Apple Podcasts.
This place, it's an insane asylum.
Search College Sports now.
Welcome back to the Chris Peterson Show. Along with Coach Pete, here's Tony Castricone.
I want to ask about the philosophy of scripting plays to begin a half, because it does seem like throughout the course of the year, the beginning of the second half, there seems to be some zip. There seems to be like we're getting out there and scoring on opening drives the second half very often. Is that part of the reason that you do that? Like, is that something that you like doing and you see a whole lot of benefits out of doing?
Well, I don't do that, you know, our offensive coaches.
Sure.
And so I think they come in at halftime, and what's on the play sheet that we like, that we need to get back to, that we haven't used? Are they playing as different than we thought? And you kind of go from there. And, you know, Colorado didn't come out and do much different than we thought. I mean, that's, they kind of, you know, everybody's got enough in their package. You can't predict exactly what they're going to do on this given down. I mean, that's what coaches do, is change it up. But in terms of like new blitzes and all this kind of stuff, you know, they might emphasize one thing over the other more against a given team, but it wasn't something that they hadn't really put on tape, but we just couldn't seem to get it figured out.
You knew coming into the game, and you talked about this last week, that Steven Montez had the ability to hurt you with his legs. And it wasn't even just running the football. He was 6 for 56 rushing. That's a really good night for a quarterback. But also his ability to extend plays and really particularly the backbreaking 3rd and 16 there in the fourth quarter that allowed them to keep their final drive alive.
I mean, I pulled the tape out from last week. I said exactly that. Like, it's not anything that we didn't know on either side of the ball. Now you got to go out and be able to get it done. Credit to him. You know, pulled out of some things, stood in the pocket tough, 3rd and 16, throws it, runs in bootleg. We got him covered to a T. He outruns our D. You know, I mean, it is what it is. And, you know, they made more plays than we did. But on defense, we played well enough to win, you know, holding them to 20 points. I think the thing that really disappointed me on defense is they had the ball 5 minutes left in the game, fourth quarter.
One-yard line.
We couldn't get the ball. Yeah, at the one, punted, pinned them, perfect, exactly what we want to do. We couldn't get the ball back.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, you know, that's painful.
Outside of them getting the ball at the one-yard line right there, felt like they had the field position advantage the entire game. Yep. Aaron Fuller at the very end of the game flipped it with the big punt return.
Yeah.
But you've talked earlier, you really want to have the field position advantage in a game because when you don't, everything's harder.
And most of the time, I really feel that's going to come from turnovers. So if the five-minute drive at the end was the most crushing thing, the next most crushing thing is zero turnovers. You know, the great defense is a really good defense. They're going to create something. And so we got nothing. We turned one over when we're going in to score.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we go down there early on, takes the air right out of the balloon. And then the other thing that we did know going in is that Colorado's, you know, you talk about stats for losers. Like, you look at their third down percentages. They're not super high on third down defense. And we watched that tape a million times going, huh? How are these guys not one of the leading teams? They have a really difficult. Now, what would happen is quarterbacks would kind of get out of some things, run for things, make some things up, some scramble type stuff. That's not really our guy's game. And so we knew that we were going to have to stay in third manageable situations and go for it on some on fourth down, which we did both those things. You know, third downs were okay, but, you know, we a couple times convert on fourth down. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, we just, you know, there's always like these moments, okay, at the end of the game, you got, that's what I'm talking about competing. You know, you got to answer. Who can answer? They answered more than we did. Mm-hmm. You're in the red zone. Can you finish this drive off? But it was just kind of one of those games where it started, you know, we hold them on offense. They punt and they get the luckiest bounce that you've seen out at the 6-inch yard line. We go three and out.
Yeah.
Don't get a good punt. So now they got that short field.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's going to be a problem. And our defense does a pretty good job. I mean, because their backs are the wall, hold them to a field goal, those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
But that just kind of kept happening, that field position game. And you can only sustain that so long.
Coming up, our assistant coach of the week, right after this.
This Husky tailgating moment is brought to you by Waterbrook Winery, proud partner of Husky Athletics. For this week's Apple Cup against the Cougars, savvy tailgaters know to pair Waterbrook Two Ponds boxed wines with a crowd-pleasing meal. Much like football, a successful tailgating game plan is all about strategy and execution. Your mealtime roster scores big points with Waterbrook Two Ponds boxed wines backing it up. Waterbrook Winery, vintage Walla Walla, award-winning wines representing the best of the Columbia Valley. Visit us at waterbrook.com and go Huskies.
Make sure to stay updated on all the action.
Under pressure, sacked.
All the time.
Jams it home.
With content from all 7 Pac-12 Network's channels on Pac-12 Now, where you can access live events.
Just a moonshot.
And original programming on demand, with the ability to customize the teams you want to follow and the content you want to see, wherever you are and whenever you want it. All the teams and all the access, all with Pac-12 Now.
More from Tony and Coach Pete in a moment. But first, these messages from your local station.
Hey, I'm Kirk Herbstreit, and I watch college football like it's my job.
It is your job.
I know, but sometimes I like to get out of the booth and chill. Here, have a Coors Light.
Thanks.
So, where was I?
You're on my couch. In my spot.
Oh, is this your spot? It's a nice spot. Great view.
Grab some Coors Light for every game day. Proud partner of Husky Athletics. 2019 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
At Boeing, we support events that bring us closer, make our communities better places to live and work, and help us build a sound future together. That's why we are proud to be the title sponsor of the Boeing Apple Cup Series. When we celebrate this long-standing rivalry, we celebrate Washington's spirit. And that's something we can all get behind. The Boeing Apple Cup Series. Here for the rivalry. Here for the tradition.
Welcome back to the Chris Peterson Show.
Here's Tony Castricum.
Welcome back to the Chris Peterson Show. Kyle Sammons is the coordinator of sports science for football, and he joins us here on this week's program. Kyle, I know you started out as a strength and conditioning assistant within this family, and then in February 2018, stepped into this new role. What prompted the change?
That's a great question. You know, I started as a strength and conditioning coach that you talked about, and I've always had an interest in sports science, more or less, reading research, finding out root problems, why things happen. So I think Coach Saha kind of saw that interest over the year and a half, 2 years that I was here previously, and I was approached about what about transitioning into coordinator sports science, which is more of a holistic role, including nutrition as well, and then all of our technology pieces to monitor our guys. So I jumped at it, and now we are season two, and we're off and running.
All right, so let's unpack that a little bit. You talk about the technology pieces, yeah. Monitoring, all that stuff. It seems like in today's day and age, he who owns the data owns the world, right? And so yeah. It's acquiring that data so that you can analyze it, figure out where to get better. What sort of equipment, what sort of things are our players getting access to that they can then turn around and monitor their progress?
So we use a system called Catapult, which is pretty prevalent in college athletics right now. It's one of the bigger companies around for any kind of player monitoring. And what it is, it's the GPS unit that is also an accelerometer as well. So what we try and do is understand what these players go through on a daily basis, whether it's practice or a speed session, how much stress they go through. And the best way to look at it is it's essentially a dashboard. We have all this information coming into one area. I take that data and then I visualize it for our coaches and or whoever wants to see it to see progress or any kind of development issues that are going on. So, yeah, I'm trying to break it down easier in a sense. It's more just a dashboard for our guys, which are like high-performance cars, and that's how we mm-hmm. kind of tell our players and or recruits coming in here just to better understand it, because it can kind of be hard to grasp at first. And then the other piece that we do use are shorts that we put on certain guys that have EMG sensors in them to test muscle activity while they're running around, and it can show us imbalances front to back, left to right, and then any kind of muscle grouping imbalances, whether the quads are working more than the hamstrings, why is that? So at the end of the day, we're just trying to find out why things are happening. How can we better prepare our guys to become more resilient, to reduce risk of injury?
Mm-hmm. Well, what's an example of something that you were able to take a look at this data that you have and be like, oh, we can make an adjustment here, and this could be better for him. It could be better for the team. And we wouldn't have known that without the data.
Yeah. I think the best example I can give you is we all as coaches and strength coaches think we understand sports really well because we've played it or we have been in it for a long time. And once we started getting data, we were like, whoa, this is actually interesting. Our linemen run more than we think. We think that they're pretty sedentary because they're 320 pounds. Now, obviously, it depends on the structure of practice and games, but they actually run a lot more than we knew. So that's one example, is understanding football on a better level to better prepare our guys in the off season and in season so they can withstand the rigors of the game. And that's where injuries start to happen, is if they can't tolerate it, then they start to break down. So that's one example. It's kind of a vague example, I get, but that's one example we kind of like, whoa, this is interesting. And then also, too, just seeing the week flow of game weeks, what games look like compared to what we thought, and how much high-speed running there is compared to what we thought or not thought of, how much volume they're covering, skill guys, big skill guys, linemen, and then how many collisions and impacts they go through. That's one other piece that we can get to, how many impacts. Now, it's on their body, so it's center mass body blows. It's not head blows, but that, and we can get change of direction data, which is super fascinating to understand how much these guys go through in a game, and not only that, our practices, because we're trying to obviously get them more relevant to a game mm-hmm. in season, so there's not a huge drop-off and a shock to the system.
Yeah, that's fascinating stuff. So take me through, you talked about how important all this stuff is for practices, but obviously everybody's super interested in Saturdays. They come out to the games, they're cheering and all this stuff. And what's your role on a game day, and how does that affect what's going on and the decision-making process and everything?
Game day for me personally is actually me just taking notes, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the sideline, and what I'm doing is I'm just charting drives on a watch, so chronological time, offense, defense, so then we can actually categorize our data. Otherwise, we have one giant stream of data, and then what it does, it doesn't give us a true understanding of the game and what they're going through. So what I'll do is I'll write down, okay, drive one of offense, if they're on the field, okay, 8:20, and they came off the field at 8:30, so it was 10 minutes long. Now, that might include a few TV timeouts here and there, but that's just what I'm doing is taking notes to understand drive, so then we can categorize data.
And so you can get results to know exactly on a given play based off knowing the time code.
Mm-hmm.
You can know, like, if Ryan Bowman, the way he really, like, hit Fontenot and jarred that fumble loose, you know what kind of force he was bringing on that play.
Yeah, you can. You can look at that more of a micro approach for sure. Like, you can definitely dive in pretty deep to the data and be like, wow, okay, this guy hit the running back to cause the fumble, and here's the G-forces that he went through. And yeah, that's one example for sure.
All right, so we are coming toward the end of the season here.
Yeah.
And I know that this is a time of year where everybody's kind of like, you know, a lot of sleepless nights, the late travel, you got your rivalry game coming up. What are some of the things from a nutrition standpoint, from a health standpoint, the sports science standpoint, that are keys here at the end of the season that you're always talking to the guys about?
The main thing is recovery. It's a pretty general term, but it's also a hot term right now. Everyone's talking about recovery or load management. But I think we're not deviating too much from what we're doing in season, beginning of season, end of season. We're just trying to make sure our guys are recovering, getting adequate amounts of carbohydrates, protein. And then the main thing is just educating on sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Education is a huge piece of just getting them to understand why it's important. The why, I think, is probably a bigger piece than anything. If they can understand why they're doing certain things, they'll keep coming back and doing it. So that's the main thing, is just making sure they're getting enough protein and carbohydrates and sleep. And then the last piece is just hydration,
mm-hmm.
which is another broad term, but making sure they're getting enough sodium, magnesium, potassium, stuff of that nature.
Sure. I mean, it's stuff that as a college student, you get,
right.
You understand that you got to get to sleep, right? But at mm-hmm. the same time, you're being pulled 8 million different directions, influenced in a lot of different ways. And one of the things I read in the last couple of weeks was there's a study out of Stanford that one of the best things you can do to help prevent injuries is just get 10 hours of sleep a night.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, sleep is becoming more of a topic these days just because they're unraveling a lot more with research. I mean, Matthew Walker wrote a book about it. He's down at Cal Berkeley. There's Sherry Ma, who's done research on sleep as well, who consulted with the Warriors. So people are changing their sleep structures now and their hygiene, because it can be a performance enhancer naturally, just because we do secrete certain hormones while we sleep. And that's the only way to really recover is sleep. If you don't get any sleep, but you still take supplements, it doesn't matter. The slow wave sleep at night is the main thing that can help guys recover. So, I mean, Sherry Ma's done a bunch with basketball players, and it's shown that if you get a better night's sleep, your 3-point percentage goes up.
It's that simple.
It's that simple. Not really, but yeah.
Well, I mean, the data shows
You
got a better chance, right?
Because
it's all about percentage of chance, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. How do you increase the likelihood that you're going to have success? So Kyle Sammons, coordinator of sports sciences for Washington Football, thank you very much for the time. Appreciate
it. Absolutely appreciate you, and go dog.
We'll have more with Tony and Coach Pete right after this.
This season, have a very Husky holiday. University Bookstore carries the top brands in Husky apparel from Adidas, Tommy Bahama, Champion, and unique styles and accessories you won't find anywhere else. Husky gear makes the season better. Celebrate the Apple Cup with a weekend of savings on November 29th and 30th. You'll find seriously good savings on the gifts that Husky superfans want, plus so much more. Shop University Bookstore and ubookstore.com. University Bookstore, the authentic Husky retailer since 1900.
At Bale Breaker Brewing, we've always been proud supporters of UW Athletics, since we paid tuition there. We're also proud supporters of drinking deliciously freshly brewed local craft beer on game day, which is why we're now pouring our Northwestern brand of family-farmed heavenly hoppiness at every Husky game this year. So come raise a glass to Husky football on game day, or drop by the brewery and raise one with us on all those other days. Bale Breaker Brewing, fresh off the farm. Go Dawgs.
From Seattle to Spokane and everywhere in between, this is the Washington Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
Magic Toyota in Edmonds has been an enthusiastic supporter of UW Athletics and building the future together. That's why Magic Toyota is the proud sponsor of UW's Pups and Parents program. Nothing is more satisfying than seeing past and current Huskies introducing future Huskies to the university through athletics, plus spending fun, quality time together. Brought to you by Magic Toyota, proud sponsor of UW Athletics. See our brand new, state-of-the-art Magic Toyota store right on Highway 99 in Edmonds and always online at magictoyota.com. Go Dawgs!
Bob Kendall, president of Star Rentals.
A big reason our family-owned business has been around since 1900 is the principle of empowering our people to do what they think is in the best interest of the customer. After all, this is a relationship business, and that's a constant that hasn't changed over time.
Star Rentals, the preferred supplier to the West's best contractors.
Empowering our employees to bring value to our customers. We think that's a relationship that will work for your business.
Find out how at starrentals.com.
Welcome back to the Chris Peterson Show. Along with Coach Pete, here's Tony Castricone.
It's senior day at Husky Stadium on Friday, and a class of 18 that has 38 wins in their career, if they can win this Apple Cup, they will get to 39, which will tie the school record for most wins by a senior class. It's not the senior year that these 18 wanted to have, but these 18 have had unbelievable Husky careers.
Yeah, the body of work has been really great. And, you know, that's part of that lesson, too. I mean, it's not gonna all go how you want it to go, you know. And there's some days and some months and some seasons that aren't all how you want them to be, and that's the reality of life. But yeah, we still got two more games, and they can go out with a bang. They can, but we're gonna have to play our best ball. You know, that's the challenge, is we're gonna have to play our best ball these last two games, because we got two really different style teams that are evenly matched record wise, and then whatever bowl you go to, you're really usually playing an evenly matched team. I mean, they match these bowls up pretty evenly. So what are we going to do?
Yep, go try to win those last two games. We'll start with the offensive linemen. There are four: Trey Adams, Nick Harris, Jared Hilbers, and Henry Roberts, who will be dressing up in Husky Stadium for the last time.
Just a great group. You know, been here a long time. And we could spend the whole show just talking about those four guys, you know, and I could talk about Henry Roberts for hours. You know, he's a guy that, you know, football-wise, maybe hasn't been on the field as much as he'd like or we'd liked, but what a wonderful person. I always say this, you better be nice to Henry, because he's going to be the governor, he's going to be the mayor of this place, he's going to be the president, he's going to be something. So he's such a great guy. But, you know, I just really appreciate the quality of all these kids, but you just named four guys right there that are just outstanding people.
Four wide receivers that are going to be seniors: Andre Bocelli, Aaron Fuller, Chico McClatcher, Quentin Pounds. All have made enormous plays, enormous contributions, and all of them are guys that, like, I'm just going to miss talking to them. They're just, like, really special guys.
Yeah. And all have been through a lot. You know, there's been a lot of adversity going through that room. And, you know, I just, at the end of the day, hope they've all really grown from it. And maybe you don't know, you know, a lot of times going through adversity or just coming out of it, those type of things, it's hard to say I've grown from it. But I know that the things that they've learned here, the relationships, the education, the ball that they played, will all be something that they'll appreciate down the road.
Four big-time defensive contributors: Miles Bryant, Benning Potuai, Brandon Wellington, Kyler Manu. guys that are out there on most plays defensively and guys that are playing their final game at Husky Stadium.
Yeah. You know, I just kind of chuckle because I think when you say those and you say the final game, I think back to like it was just yesterday that I'm sitting in Tacoma at a pizza place with Benning's family trying to figure out. This is one of the, you know, most highly recruited kids, certainly in the state and in the West that year. And, you know, what's he going to do? And then all of a sudden, here we are. And it's his last game. And so, you know, I mean, I feel like that about all those guys, you mm-hmm. know. Same thing with Brandon Wellington. And Kyler's been here longer than anyone because he gray-shirted and then red-shirted. So he's been here about 5.5 years. Mm-hmm. And so he's seen a lot. And, you know, glad in his senior year that he got to get some real quality time.
Let's talk about a couple special teams players. And we'll start with A.J. Cardy, because I know you think he's one of the most underrated contributors to the team. He actually grades as one of the best long snappers in America, and he could make a lot of money in the NFL.
He is one of the best in the country. I mean, here's the thing about a long snapper, or short snapper, or a combination of both, which he is. You're probably not even going to know who that guy is unless he's not very good or inconsistent or there's issues with it. And there might be a lot of people around here don't know who our long snapper is for the last 4 years because he's that good. There's never been one, and I shouldn't say never, but there's never been something that our punter couldn't handle or our holder couldn't handle. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is that consistent, that, you know, that cash, and he's a guy that you just take for granted in terms of like, well, you don't have to worry about him. But he is. He's one of the best in the country.
Making his 43rd start. I mean, like, yeah. he's been around a long time. And so A.J. Cardy. And then Joel Whitford.
Yep.
I don't know that a lot of folks realize this, but Washington is one of the top teams in the nation in net punting this year. And Joel Whitford is sneaking up on Kyle Rasp as far as having the best season any punter has ever had yards per punt wise yeah. in Husky history.
Yeah, it's been really good. And, you know, I yeah, Joel, I mean, coming from, you know, Melbourne, Australia, he was over at a junior college for 1 year, and we kind of got on to him, and he's still, you know, he's still got that thick Australian accent, and I think sometimes when he speaks in public, it even becomes thicker. You know, he's a crowd favorite when he's really speaking with that accent. But he's going to be an architect. You know, that's what I think about these guys. You know, he's going to be one of the, you know, have a tremendous senior year, and he's punted a lot. I flipped the field for so many times, but I think about, oh, I can't wait to see this guy in about 5 years, you know, where he's working and all those things. And really happy for Joel.
Yeah. And then you've got four other seniors who don't see the field that often, but I mean, these are guys that are glue guys that are part of what you do on a day in, day out basis at practice. You got Malik Braxton. Josiah Bronson has taken on a huge role on the defensive line this year, and he's been a starter all season long. Dustin Bush and John Clark, who's been out with an injury,
yeah.
but Clark and Bronson earning scholarships this year.
Yeah, and so John Clark, you know, unfortunate part of the game, right? I mean, just a couple tough knee injuries, but a wonderful kid from Washington here, and we missed him this year because he would have been a guy in the mix. Josiah Bronson, wow, you know, in the starting rotation.
Mm-hmm.
He's had a really solid year, and it's been awesome to see that. And the other two guys are – I can't tell you how much they've helped us, like, practice. I mean, they practice their tail off. They're good players and just great vibe to them. You know, they're going to be sorely missed around here. And whether a guy's a starter or a guy's, you know, a scout team guy, it's just you feel so good about them, right? I mean, come game day, you need your horses out there. But the other 6 days, it's like we're all the same. We all have our roles, and they're all equally important. And that's what I think about those guys.
Yeah, yeah. So 18 seniors trying to get a 39th win in their career in the Apple Cup game, and also trying to have a clean sweep of the Cougs, which going 4-0 would be pretty awesome. That's what's on the line this week.
We'll have more with Tony and Coach Pete right after this.
At Boeing, we support events that bring us closer, make our communities better places to live and work, and help us build a sound future together. That's why we are proud to be the title sponsor of the Boeing Apple Cup Series. When we celebrate this long-standing rivalry, we celebrate Washington's spirit. and that's something we can all get behind. The Boeing Apple Cup Series, here for the rivalry, here for the tradition.
Now you can bow down and drink up at Red Hook Brew Lab, located in the heart of Seattle's Capitol Hill neighborhood. Proudly partnered with the Washington Huskies, Red Hook has created their very own small batch IPA, Purple Rain, specially brewed for the home team and available on tap all season long. Catch the Husky spirit by catching a game at Red Hook Brew Lab.
The Chris Peterson Show continues in 60 seconds on the Washington Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College.
Bob Kendall, president of Star Rentals.
A big reason our family-owned business has been around since 1900 is the principle of empowering our people to do what they think is in the best interest of the customer. After all, this is a relationship business, and that's a constant that hasn't changed over time.
Star Rentals, the preferred supplier to the West's best contractors.
Empowering our employees to bring value to our customers. We think that's a relationship that will work for your business.
Find out how at starrentals.com.
From the opening kick.
The 90th meeting between Notre Dame and USC. Ball is in the air.
To the post-game pressers.
It's just an incredible football game, and both teams. I've never been anything like it.
We've got you covered from around the nation.
This is the College Football Rewind.
The Aggies win in overtime.
Bubbles the football, and Michigan's got it.
10, 5, 3, touchdown, Oregon.
Download on Sunday mornings on Apple Podcasts.
Touchdown, Virginia Tech Hokies.
Search College Sports now.
Welcome back to the Chris Peterson Show. Along with Coach Pete, here's Tony Castricone.
All right, let's talk about Washington State. The Cougars come in at 6-5, much like the Huskies. And so we're talking about bowl positioning here. We're talking about just simply winning a rivalry game. You know, what was it like for you coming in here from Boise State? You take the job at Washington, and you start learning about the rivalry games right away.
Well, you know, wherever you go, there's that rivalry. And I think the interesting thing about Washington is there's a couple. Seems like everybody's our rival, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
Everybody's got us circled. But this one is different when you're in state. And you see, I had this at the places I've before. When you're in the bigger city, there's and your rival's from a smaller city. You know, there's going to be a ton of people from that smaller city that come live in the bigger city, and they're mm-hmm. going to fly their colors. If any of our guys go into the smaller city and then fly their colors, it's like, you know, they're going to be beat up and all those type of things. That's just how it works. I mean, that's call it what it is. I mean, get that purple, you know, whatever. Yeah. Here, they have their license plates, and I mean, it's just how it is. But it makes it a lot easier during the year if you win that game. You can have your license plate, and all that doesn't matter. But when you don't, it really irritates you to look at that.
Yeah, well, it's been a fascinating rivalry to watch continue to unfold. The Huskies have had a fair share of success, but as we talked about earlier in the show, none of that counts for anything coming into this game.
And I think what's been a little bit interesting, too, and I really haven't looked at the numbers or the records, but it feels like, you know this better than me, but it seems to feel like every time we play these guys, we kind of have similar records. You know, whether they're having a good year, we're having a good year, we're kind of dead, you know, it's like they're similar. Like we're both fighting to get into a bowl game a few years ago. And, you know, it seemed like that kind of stuff. And it's kind of interesting how we kind of mirror each other with completely different parts of the state, different styles, all those type of things. But, you know, Mike Leach does a great job over there. And those are really competitive. I mean, they give you a lot of problems. But to me, and it's, you know, I could say this every single week, and I just really believe this in the bottom of my heart. You know, as much as this is a rivalry game and all this, it's about us getting our stuff right. Mm-hmm. It's about, all the stuff that we've been through this year. You know, it's not like we need to be more motivated. I've never felt like that. I think we've over-motivated them in some ways. Like, mm-hmm. that's not what this is about. It's about, you know, us just locking in and playing to our capabilities and, you know, the anxiety level, backing off that a little bit and knowing it's not going to go all perfect and still being able to come back with, you know, with that attitude that we're still going to just take chances and go play. And it's, you know, I've said it on the radio. I think I've said it before. You know, it's just not a game of perfect. And when you're trying to play perfect, that's when you start heading south.
I know you get a lot of questions at press conferences, and people sometimes, especially fans, don't quite understand that it's the next game sort of thing when it's a game that they've been looking forward to for the whole entire year.
Yeah.
But it seems to me, for you and the players and the coaches, you being in the thick of it, you're in the fire, right? If your energy and your focus is not directed in the right place, it can go sideways. And that's why you have to just have it focused where you place it rather than getting caught up in in some of the other pageantry. Is that right?
Well, and you're going to certainly feel this. I mean, they know what's out there. We live in a bubble here. We just do. It's very insulated in terms
of the football office.
Yes, and just the world, the football world that we live in. And I know social media is out there and all that. But, you know, they go to class. They come here and train. They're studying. You know, this time goes fast like we spoke about. And then the game's here. And so it's just so much to do for this game. It's very hard to look past that. Now, you know, they're going to come into the stadium. And that's one of the beautiful things about playing at the University of Washington, a packed house. And it can be a rivalry game or not. I mean, our fans are so wonderful. I mean, it's like that's the coolest thing about this place. One of the coolest things for these kids to go out and to go into that environment. And that's what college football is all about. And so I'm excited that these seniors get to play their last, you know, the last home game here in such a big game.
The Cougars bring in quarterback Anthony Gordon, which is another amazing story. Seems like all their quarterbacks have amazing stories. This kid is a zero-star recruit. And now NFL scouts are saying the following things about him. Best deep ball in the country. His multiple release points remind us of Patrick Mahomes. He plays with an attitude and fearlessness of a four-year starter. What do you think about all this?
I think and I think the last thing that you just said is what I think about when I watch him play. Like, he just got that attitude and that belief that he plays like he has been there forever. And that, you know, that is the, you know, that is, that's confidence. Confidence is cash. Like, that's, I really admire that. But, yeah, it's truly amazing what Mike Leach does over there. You know, the system that he has created that is unique to him and how they come in and plug in the next quarterback. And but also, what an unbelievable example and story for Gordon. You know, 5 years. You know, four solid years of just sitting there learning, and now he gets his chance. And they're talking about him, that, you know, have a chance in the NFL, and he does all these things. I just really admire that in this day and age.
He's already set conference passing records, and we're not at the end of the year yet. I mean, he's got two more games, and he's setting all-time Pac-12 passing records. Yeah. And so some people will say this is a system that produces those results. He has done the system better than others have so far, including others that have had enormous success.
Well, it's a great system. There's no question about it. But you're not going to put up these type of numbers. Any of those guys that Mike Leach has had from Texas Tech to whatever, unless you're a big-time thrower. I mean, maybe you do or maybe you don't fit the pro style. You know, everybody's different there. But to put up those numbers, you have to be a darn good quarterback. And Anthony Gordon is a darn good quarterback.
We were talking earlier in this show, and we've talked all year about the importance of field position. And what is interesting about looking at Washington State's season is it seems like they're the one team that field position doesn't really matter. They have had nine touchdown drives of 90 yards this year. Coach, you've had one. And that's a good one, right?
I chuckle at that because in some ways, you know, I don't think Mike Leach cares about that. Like, I think he wants a longer field, and we're just gonna get a chance to throw the ball more and make bigger plays, you know, and they do that. And, we're about field position and offense, defense fitting together and all those type of things for us to be successful.
30 touchdown drives of 75 yards or more. I mean, that you take a touchback, and there's still a good chance you're going the distance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They, I mean, they're one of the most explosive offenses, you know, in the nation and one of the highest scoring. So our defense, we got our work cut out for us without question.
A couple other notes. They've scored 14 points in a quarter 17 times this year. Mm-hmm. They've scored 0 points in a quarter only 3 times all season. Also, here's another thing about Washington State that, you know, people look at the record, 6-5. They have lost 3 games in the final minute.
Yeah.
UCLA, yeah. Arizona State, Oregon. They could be 9-2.
Yeah, no question about that. They really could. But I say that about ourselves, you know.
That's true.
A little bit, you know. It's like if we can make a couple more plays, you know, we've been in every single game and we're right there. And, you know, that's a little bit of the frustration, like when you feel like you're kind of right there and your record could and should be better.
Mm-hmm. We've talked about it earlier this year. You want to see your team finish better. We haven't really had a comeback this year. There hasn't really been down by 3 to 6 points and that final drive completed the way that you want to. What is it that you have talked to your guys about in the last week or worked on in practice in order to try to continue those things?
It's just everything we've been talking about, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't have to be just the offense, the defense, right?
True.
I mean, that's what we're talking about. We just had a last game. I mean, that's finishing the game. I mean, you got to do your job. You don't play offense and defense, whether the defense needs to stop or the offense needs a 2-minute drive, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And those are things that we there's not a week that doesn't go by that we don't work on both those situations. We just finished our 2-minute offense, defense today, competing against each other. They're some of my most favorite times of the week because they're the most competitive. I mean, the kids, like, the horns are out, and it is awesome, and it's great energy, and there's tight plays being made, and the offense had an unbelievable 2-minute drive today. So, I don't know. You got to be able to go get it done in prime time, though.
And a lot of excitement when they execute that in practice. Like, I mean, when that touchdown occurs in practice and that offense beats the defense, like, they are jacked. Like, it's the most celebration I see in practice.
and the other way around, like, when they get a stop and all those things, the other side is, and that's, you know, that's what you really like. That's the energy you love in practice. And that's usually our most competitive, but we have a lot of different competitive situations in practice, and that's what I've been saying, you know, all year, that those kids have been extremely competitive in practice. We need to be extremely competitive in these situational football components when our, you know, it's the John Wooden, you know, the, you know, what is that excellence, what is truly that competitive spirit? It's like you got to bring your best when your best is needed.
Yep.
You know, it's that thing. And that's what we have to take the step in.
We'll have more with Tony and Coach Pete right after this.
Coors Light presents A Word from Kirk Herbstreit.
It's Saturday morning, and that means it's time for college football. It means your fridge is filled with Coors Light. It means last night's pizza is this morning's breakfast. And washing it down with your first Coors Light of the day is worthy of an It's Saturday morning, and it means showers are optional.
Make Saturday mornings even more chill with a fridge full of Coors Light. Proud partner of Husky Athletics. 2019 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
More from Tony and Coach Pete in a moment. But first, these messages from your local station.
At Bail Breaker Brewing, we've always been proud supporters of UW Athletics, since we paid tuition there. We're also proud supporters of drinking deliciously freshly brewed local craft beer on game day, which is why we're now pouring our Northwestern brand of family-farmed heavenly hoppiness at every Husky game this year. So come raise a glass to Husky football on game day, or drop by the brewery and raise one with us on all those other days. Bail Breaker Brewing, fresh off the farm. Go Dawgs!
This season, have a very Husky holiday. University Bookstore carries the top brands in Husky apparel from Adidas, Tommy Bahama, Champion, and unique styles and accessories you won't find anywhere else. Husky gear makes the season better. Celebrate the Apple Cup with a weekend of savings on November 29th and 30th. You'll find seriously good savings on the gifts that Husky superfans want, plus so much more. Shop University Bookstore and ubookstore.com. University Bookstore, the authentic Husky retailer since 1900.
Welcome back to the Chris Peterson Show. Here's Tony Castricone.
Let's take a look at some of their personnel. We've talked a little bit about quarterback Anthony Gordon so far, but Max Borgi is a guy that is just is putting up crazy numbers. A running back who is like 17th in the nation in receptions. Like, of all the great wide receivers out there in college football, Max Borgi has more receptions than a lot of them.
Well, he's a heck of a player, but that's the system, because each year one of their running backs is one of their leading receivers. He's usually in the top three. And so, but it has to be a unique player, right? Because they're going to give him the ball. In that run game, they don't do it a lot, but when they do it, they expect yards, and it keeps you very, very honest. And so sometimes, because of the numbers game, they're going to run the ball when the numbers are right. But, you know, they create that space with the big splits, and we might have a guy, you know, there's a guy with a hand on him, and he is strong, and he is a hard guy to tackle. And you'll see that running through the tackles, and he bounces it. He's a perfect back for their offense. And then the other thing is, you know, if he's not getting the ball, he can pass protect. You know, he's very stout, but they get him out into the flats, the swing routes, the flat routes, mm-hmm. and that's where he catches balls. And then you got to tackle him one-on-one out there in all the space, and most guys don't.
How do they look up front? I know they lost some guys in the NFL. How do they look up front to you? Because we're talking about trying to stop the run, and yeah. they will lull you to sleep with all these passes, and then, boom, hit you with the run up the middle. Yeah. What's their offensive line look
well, like? Well, let me even go back. One more part of their run game is their screen game. Their wide receiver screen game, which is maybe is something I'm more impressed with than anything about their offense. It is deadly. I mean, they have just gashed people with their screen game. And I think that's an extension kind of the run game. They're going to throw it out there quickly in space and get blockers out there, and they make a lot of big plays. Their offensive line, you know, I think you could talk about their offensive line like you talk about their quarterback. It's kind of the same.
Unheralded, but good.
Yeah, they're good, and I think there's you know, they got an NFL lineman in there too. There is, but because they're pass protecting so much, you maybe don't hear about them as much. But as much as they throw the ball, and I think they give out the least amount of sacks in the conference. Mm-hmm. So that's got to say something about they got some decent players in there as well.
three Biletnikoff watch list guys at the beginning of the year in Patman, Winston, and Arcanato.
Yep. Solid guys, you know. They've played in that system for a while. They know exactly what they're looking for coverage-wise, space-wise. And when you throw it that much you know, with the receivers that they're going to recruit over there, they're going to put up numbers, and they have.
What about defensively? It's very easy to look at last week, 53 points given yeah. up. You know, UCLA, they give up a 32-point lead. It's easy to look at the defense, but there are some factors there where, like, a lot of turnovers in games kind of swung those things. Wonder what you see out of this defense.
Yep. So they are similar to they've been in the past. The style's the same. Like, Coach Leach, he has his style. Like, he doesn't run the defense. He doesn't run special teams. He runs offense. But you know he has his style and how he wants them to play. And so they are all over the place, and they can make you make a lot of mistakes. And you have to be able to reload, because you can also catch guys that are going to be blitzing you and dropping out and blowing up gaps, and sometimes you can get out of a gap and those type of things. And so it's that style. It's kind of like all in on stop and run, you know, blitzing you, punching out, and sometimes guys can create big plays, but they're going to also create some big plays on the other side.
When you take a look at their defense, are there certain players that really pop to you on that tape? And also wanted to ask you this. They made a change at defensive coordinator yes. midway through the season to yes. an interim. Have you noticed a difference in their defense since then?
I think they're playing better. It's the similar style. They didn't go back and mm-hmm. start from scratch. Mm-hmm. They probably simplified a few things so the kids can kind of play faster and maybe know what they're doing. But the style is relatively the same. But, yeah, I mean, we've played against a handful of these guys for the last couple of years. You know, I think Marcus Strong is a very good corner out there. I mean, he's going to cover whoever the top receiver, and he does a really good job. Jihad Woods, the linebacker. I mean, all of our guys know him. He's played the last couple of years. Last year, really good player. Makes, I think he's the second leading tackler in the conference.
10th in the nation.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's the style. So the D-line is moving all over the place and then eating up blocks, and he makes a lot of tackles. Mm-hmm. And then what I think is interesting about those guys up front is they play a bunch of guys in the D-line. They rotate the army through. There's 8-9 guys that are just going through, and they do their thing, and they're trying to time the snap count and get upfield and knock you hitting in the backfield and, you know, and reload and go again.
Where's Thanksgiving rank on your list of favorite holidays?
There's usually so much going on that it's very hard to take a deep breath and step back and, you know, enjoy. We're practicing, you know. You usually, if we're home, you run home and, you know, have some Thanksgiving, then we go to the hotel at night, you know, with the players in the evening time and get ready to play, you know, the next day. And so I do appreciate it. We try to make sure that the guys after practice, you know, give thanks for many things, many blessings in our lives, and take a few hours to do that. And then we go back to the hotel at night and get refocused.
It's funny. Football is almost synonymous with Thanksgiving over the last 30 years. You think about watching the NFL games, college has kind of seeped into the picture. I was looking in some old Tyee yearbooks from like the turn of the century, like 1907. Huskies are playing Oregon on Thanksgiving Day. I mean, it goes way back.
You have too much time on your hands.
I was doing that in the summertime. But, you know, there's this thing about Thanksgiving and football that's really special. Yeah. It's really cool. And you get to coach in one of the big rivalry games on Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, no, and that's truly a blessing. There's no question about that. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that, you know, you go practice and in between that time to step back and go, hey, you know, this is, it's part of the American way, you know, football and Thanksgiving. And, yeah, to be part of it's awesome.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay, Tony. Thank you.
And listening to the Chris Peterson Show on the Washington Sports Network from Learfield, IMG College. The Chris Peterson Show has been sponsored by Star Rentals, preferred supplier to the West's best contractors. The preceding has been a Learfield, IMG College presentation of the Washington Sports Network.